You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Get up, home. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue,
I cannot believe how much coffee I had today. In addition to the water, that's probably why I'm having my issues. But we just got more window love, Conrad. People stopping by to have their pictures taken. We're building up a catalog.
Yeah.
In case I ask someone to take their picture and they say, you know what, Schwama, take a hike. I got someone in the Rolodex. I can go to the bullpen.
I need to take a picture of you outside.
Well, we'll do that. And I'll be like,
is that when you said you were going to change the locks?
Yeah.
No,
I think so.
Bob.
Or was I supposed to mention that?
Come on, Bob. Bob,
your window. Can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, years ago, back especially when there's somebody else. Hi,
oh my God, what is happening?
back in the 1950s and early 60s.
Yeah,
television stations used to have what they called the weather windows.
Okay.
And the weather windows, the weather guy would go out and he would do his weather forecast, behind a huge window like this, and people would come by during the day and they'd wave and they'd watch and. It was very popular in big cities. I mean, in Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis, it was just incredible. I mean, it was a very popular thing. And then...
I'm sure I know what happened, why they had to stop doing it.
No, they kept doing it for years and years and years. I mean, that people were actually very respectful. I mean, it wasn't... it was something because they knew the camera was going to pan back to them so that they could be seen. And then after the weather guy was done, they would remove the screen from behind him and you could look into the newsroom.
Oh, okay. Doesn't the Today Show still do that? Or,
probably.
Or maybe they resurrected it or something.
I haven't watched the Today Show and,
I haven't watched it either. My guest is Bob Dennis. Folks, that is Bob's voice. He is here with me in the studio. He is a mob expert. And I just got distracted because I saw the police in the window.
The policeman walked by.
Maybe
yes,
I'm breaking the law.
He wasn't waving,
No, he was not. He had that cop thing where he had his hands tucked into the vest.
Yeah.
I think they all watch Chicago PD and they try to emulate. I don't know. But Bob Dennis is here, folks. Bob is a mafia aficionado. He's never been in the mob, at least not to the best of my knowledge. And we are talking about women in the mob, something that does not get discussed very often. So we said we were going to start with Stephanie St. Clair.
Mm-hmm.
She ran numbers in Harlem.
Yes.
Tell us about Stephanie St. Clair.
And the numbers and policy are the same thing.
Okay.
I didn't answer you that earlier. It's the same.
You did say that, I think.
Okay. And so,
I didn't.
She was actually known as the queen of the illegal numbers rackets in Harlem, and was really one of the wealthiest women. She's African American, not African American, but she was African. She was from Martinique.
Okay,
so that isn't African. That's what Caribbean. It's
Martinique American.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm not good with these things. I barely get out of my neighborhood. So anyway, she immigrated to New York in the 1920s and started up her own policy racket. She competed with a lot of the big boys, but because it was the African-American market in Harlem, they kind of just said, yeah, it's your own deal. Go ahead and do it. And then they would come in and when they put the muscle on her, would try to skim some of the money from her. And she was very tough. And she was like, no, you're not going to do that. And she had her people who would come back and fight back. Dutch Schultz tried to come in and put the muscle on her, and he said, yeah, you pay me $500 per, per worker. And,
oh my gosh.
And she was like, yeah, I don't think so. And she was not afraid to use her gun. She killed three of her husbands. It's like, okay. Yeah. Looking for
was
number
Dutch
four.
Schultz a Chicago guy?
No, he was a New York guy.
Okay.
Yeah. What was his name? Flemingham.
Okay.
But that doesn't sound very scary.
Right. So, no. Schultz doesn't sound that scary, but Dutch.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with the guy.
Well, it worked for the president, though. I mean,
True.
So anyways, let's see. So we talked about it. They had the three digits for the policy numbers.
Yeah.
And those numbers could come from anywhere. It could be, what the Dow Jones was up or down that day or what horse race won. Or
really?
They would pick their numbers from almost anywhere. And, of course, they could always control it.
Yeah.
And there was one time, and this I have to think back on because I remember reading it, that for some reason, I know what it was. People in New York had gone to this Chinese restaurant and they were buying their food and they were getting fortune cookies. And of course, on the fortune cookies, there's always numbers on the back.
Yeah.
And people were playing the numbers.
Oh, wow.
And they were winning hundreds of thousands of dollars in New York. And it was like, uh-oh, what's going on here? So the police came in, you know, and they were like doing the investigation, saying, what's going on here? How is this going on? And the guy was like, I just buy the cookies. That's all I do. I don't even make them. I just buy them and people play the numbers.
Pretty big coinky dink.
Yeah. So,
wow.
So that worked out.
Tell us, Bob, about Virginia Hill. This is interesting because I think some people, like, I was fascinated by how these women got into these positions. Like, did they set out to be in the mob? Were they dating a mobster and then they just kind of fell into this business? Virginia Hill, I read, was trying to get into the porn business. Mm-hmm. She went from Georgia to, I think, Chicago and ended up being this mob queen. That's
she tried to get in with Al Capone.
Okay.
Al Capone, 1932-33, was put behind bars for tax evasion. So she actually, I've got his name here somewhere. She got in thick with a gentleman named, Einstein, I think it was a Jewish mafia guy. And
from Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, Epstein?
Yeah. Epstein. Right. That's
yeah.
it. And,
no relation.
No, well, I'm not,
maybe
there. Staying out of it. Could be, you never know. Hey,
you never know.
So anyways, she got in with him and throughout her life continued a relationship with him off and on.
Mm.
And he introduced her to all the people, that she eventually would hang with, including Lucky Luciano, Meyer Lansky, Frank Costello, Tony Ricardo, Jake Guzik, there's other names here, Joe Adonis, and of course, then Bugsy Siegel, with whom she had the longest relationship.
Okay.
And he was madly in love with her. And of course, they were going to go out, they were going to build a flamingo out in Las Vegas. But the two of them were scamming money from the mob.
That was his girlfriend when he was scamming money?
Yep.
Like in the movie with Warren Beatty. Okay.
Yeah. She was his girlfriend. And because she had been, quote unquote, friends with all these other mafia people, they told her, you know what? This might be a good time for you to go to France and get some wine for the Flamingo Club. And there he was sitting in the rental unit that he had, the home she rented with him.
Right.
And they came by and, you know, shot him through the window and got him right through the
back
eye.
Back of his head, right?
Back of his head and out his eye.
She was played by Annette Bening in the movie. It was just Bugsy, I think, was the name of the movie.
Right.
It was
a good film. And it was, what's his name?
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty.
And if you're looking for a movie, folks, a good mob movie, at least one that's educational. I didn't realize how Vegas was, I only knew Chicago's involvement, what I had read, they became the force in Vegas. But initially it was Bugsy Siegel, it was his vision to make this desert gambling
crossroads.
I mean, talk about looking at sand for miles and miles and go, I can build something here. That's crazy.
Well, there was a small town there at the time.
Oh, okay.
But it was nothing. I mean, it's a gas station, a couple, maybe a casino. But the reason that he built it there was because there was a railroad going through there, and the guys coming back from World War II had to stop and sometimes transfer trains there.
Oh, okay.
But it was just, you know, there was nothing there, so it was never built up, and that's where he had the vision because it cost him next to nothing to buy sand, you know?
That's brilliant.
And,
Bob Dennis is my guest, folks. He is here in the studio with me. He's a local fella. You live in the Alloway area, right, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Did we cover that last time?
Trendy old Alloway.
Local guy, and he is a mob expert and drops by from time to time to talk mob and gangsters. Always fun. All right, so this one.
I got to tell you a little more about Virginia Hill.
Oh, yeah, please.
She was well known as being a money launderer for the mob.
Okay.
She was a cash courier. She was a Mexican heroin trafficker. She was an informant on the mob at one point in time when they thought that they were closing in on her. She lived for the style. She got jewelry and furs, and she would seal deals with rich people in Mexico when they were vacationing and then blackmail them.
Jeez. And speaking of Epstein, that's ahead of her time there.
And so anyways, eventually she got into debt, same thing for taxes that she didn't pay. She married an Austrian skier and continued with Epstein taking funds from America and putting it into Swiss bank accounts for him.
Oh my gosh.
And then also transferring money into her own pocket at the same time. And the federal government just kept after her, and she was eventually in debt at that time, would have been in the late 50s, somewhere around $221,000, which today would be like, you know, millions.
Yeah.
And she sold everything she had, only made $41,000, tried to pay it back, and they're like, yeah, that's not enough, and ended up just dying,
Oh, they didn't kill her?
No, she was actually in Austria, and she took an overdose and sat outside in the snow.
Really?
Yeah.
She's a great one. Here's I thought this, I don't know, it's between the Chinese human smuggler, Sister Ping China, or Rosetta Cutolo from Italy. I don't know if I'm saying that right. She was apparently brilliant with numbers and tried to blow up a police station and then went in Italy and then went on the lam.
Yep.
She has an interesting story.
Well, they all do. They're all just they're not afraid, you know?
Yeah.
They're not afraid to go.
Why is that because they come from nothing? They had hard lives before that. And let me ask you this, Bob. And I'm not expecting you to know this exactly, but when you're in the mob, like you just said, she ran numbers and then she did South America stuff and all the, how do they not just get killed? Doesn't it eventually catch up with them? And if you're a soldier in the mob, what are your chances of longevity or just living? Do most of them get whacked? Do eventually over time, not the capos or whatever, but do you have any idea what the death rate is for these guys?
I have an approximate idea, but let me just tell you, very few of them have 401ks.
Okay, fair enough.
The average lifespan for the guys who were out there who were higher profile, 5 years would be a long time.
No kidding.
Yeah. It was one of those things that, which is why it was unusual for people like John Gotti and Al Capone to be out in public and to be seen so much because normally they tried to stay under the radar so people wouldn't see him or try to off him or something. And so
that's crazy.
I'm sorry. So you're talking about Maria Licardi?
Yeah, but you tell us. No, I was talking about Rosetta Cutolo or Sister Ping China. Case of the Snakehead Queen. That was interesting. But you tell us. You're the one with the information.
No, I mean, you know, I don't mind you leading the way through here because we, you know, oftentimes we don't get everything discussed here. I got to turn my page back. Let's see. Well, Maria Licardi, she was from Naples. And yes, most of them started out poor. And it was not unusual for them to be married at a very young age, like about 11.
Oh, my God.
And
really?
More often than not, the ones who are involved not only in drugs and prostitution and whatnot, but human trafficking.
Okay.
A higher percentage of the women were involved in trafficking than were the men, believe it or not.
No kidding.
Just
anything to get rich, right? Or not be poor again,
yeah,
I guess.
To not be out living on the streets and having some guy, you know, some guy beat you or something. We have to talk about Griselda, though, Blanco.
Yeah, she's the immortalized, and thanks to Netflix, right?
She is possibly the most successful godmother ever.
Okay. Fill us in.
All right. Oh, I thought you were going to take a break. I wasn't sure. I thought you were taking a break.
No. We've got about a minute, and then we'll come back, and we'll
some more. For one thing, they have a series with Sofia Vergara, who is starring in that in Netflix. She actually did the executive producer of it. And her infamy was as a cold-hearted murderer and a shrewd Miami narcotics hustler. And they gave her the name of the cocaine godmother, and they made a movie out of it with Catherine Zeta-Jones. And then, like I said later on, they have now this series that's on the TV. She was known for being bloodthirsty and just fearless. She had four children, and as I mentioned off air, there was one time where she reportedly tortured a guy and told him that she was going to decapitate him, and he begged her and said, "No, just shoot me in the head."
I think if someone calls himself the cocaine queen, maybe that's someone you just kind of have a fling with. You don't marry that.
No.
We'll talk more. Bob Dennis is here. We're going to wrap things up when we come back with a little more mob talk. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. All right, so I don't like to miss texts. Last night on social media, our question was, if you knew someone who had never seen a movie, what movie would you show them? And George Chemers on social media said, Ishtar. And you remember Ishtar Bob? Yes. I actually thought a lot of that was really funny.
Yes.
And I know it's not a great movie and it just got panned, but
yeah, it didn't make money either.
No, but it wasn't as bad as people. I don't know. It's like Waterworld. You know, people just get glom onto something that they want to hate because of a buzz, maybe.
Well, and the thing is, oftentimes movies that are not good in the theater perform incredibly well on streaming.
Correct. Our pal Eric Rathsack from Ask Your Mother says Jaws. We got to have Eric back soon, Conrad. And then Tracy Thorpe. Well, obviously, The Godfather of Green Bay. Yes, Tracy. Obviously, Tracy was in The Godfather of Green Bay, and it was a blast to work with her. Going to our text line, Steady Eddie chimes in on tonight's question, which is, when is the most awkward time to make eye contact with someone? Steady Eddie says, Pete, you may find eye contact awkward with other patrons when you and your wife get busted, handcuffed, and frog-walked out of the Marinette Theater into a waiting squad car for sneaking Blue Moon non-alcoholic beer into the movies. I don't think it seemed like that much of a series of a crime. But he says, Pete, you know you're on the radio, right? People at the movie theater can hear everything you say. I recommend you and your wife wear a disguise next time you go to the movies. Trust me, these teenage kids that work there could not care less. Everett from Sun Prairie, he's in the, well, his phone is in the 262. He says, through the crack between the door and the partition in a public toilet, some of them are irresponsibly wide by design. Everett thinks the toilet engineers are trying to encourage peeping Toms. And then finally, Barb from Waukesha says, at the gym, when using the inner and outer thigh strengthening machine, I imagine myself winking and licking my lips at a guy just to see his reaction. Oh, that's very, Conrad, you should do that next time you go to the gym. You don't do that machine?
No, I mean, I literally just did that machine today, but I didn't do that.
Aaron Sommers has cooled his criticism of Conrad, so there will be no leg wrestling tonight. Tomorrow night on the show, folks, filmmaker Daniel Wheeler will be here, and it is a Bar Band Friday night with Terry Barr. We have a few more minutes with our pal Bob Dennis.
Do you know how many of the people you have on who all know each other?
Yeah, quite a few.
Everybody.
It becomes like a network. Yeah.
It's just everybody knows everybody. Oh, before I forget, I was part of the Appleton Podcast Co-op, but now they've changed their name to the 920 Creative Co-op.
Okay.
And there are people, Dan is in there. And, sure, no,
I actually thought Dan was a Milwaukee guy. He's in some funny new movie that.
Yeah. But there are people throughout the area that are all involved in it.
You guys are all, y'all know each other.
Yeah. It's
like Marinette, where everybody's related. It's bizarre.
I'm not going there. I'm just going to let that go. Okay.
Just don't date anybody there. It's lovely people, but you got to be careful. You don't want to. All right. So we have about a couple minutes with our pal, Bob Dennis. Bob, tell us about Sister Ping China, a female mobster from New York. She's got a cool story.
Yeah, she is. Cheng Xiaoping was her name. She was known as Sister Ping. She had earned her name as the Snakehead, which is the Chinese nickname for someone who is a human smuggler.
That's a great nickname.
Huh?
That's a great nickname.
Yeah. She is. She was the leader of the underground group of the crime group that organized from China, the country of China, to New York's Chinatown. She trafficked about 3,000 people, immigrants, from China to the U.S., charging on average an amount somewhere around $40,000 a head, amassed a fortune of somewhere around $40 million. Between 1980 and 1990. Now, she didn't do just Chinese. She would do other ethnics. However, they paid more than the Chinese.
Really?
So if somebody, if their situation was dangerous and they were Chinese, it might be $40,000.
Okay.
Where the normal price would have been about $18,000. But if you were from a different country, she would usually do $40,000 or $50,000 or more. And then she would loan you the money. And when you got to the country, you would have to go to work for somebody that she said you had to work for. And basically enslave them at these different companies, and the money would be given to her.
So how do they, that has to be the way most people did it. Who's getting 40 grand that wants to leave their country? I assume they're not rich, you know, or part of some kind of aristocracy. These are people that, these are immigrants that want to get the hell out of there.
Get out of there, because it's so bad.
Yeah. So where are they getting 40 grand, especially back then?
Well, all right. So some of them are going to be doing illegal things, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole different, you know, different day. But
right.
They're going to do whatever they can to get the money to get over here. And some, a lot of them, that's taking out the loans with Sister Ping. And she basically ran people from China to from Hong Kong to Guatemala and then from Guatemala to New York. That was her route.
Oh, man.
She actually had one, it was called the Golden something, Golden Ship, that she had people on who were stranded in the harbor in New York. And couldn't get out. And it was literally because they would go, they couldn't come into New York itself, but they would be out by the sandbar.
Yeah.
And something happened and they ended up having people who actually died tried to jump off the ship and they were so desperate. So
that is unbelievable. And I mean, just to think, like, how long would that take? You go to South America from China, then to America. How long of a journey is that for your 40 grand?
Oh, that's got to be, I mean, it's not, well, it's not like
months,
being,
right?
Not like being on a Disney line. I mean,
right.
It takes a long time. You know, I'm thinking it's probably got to be at least 3 to 6 months, depending on conditions.
And, without shuffleboard.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, yeah. You know, it's one of those things. So anyways, she was quite the con. She was the person who just built a whole industry out there. And there are people out there who would say, because she treated people from her hometown and her home area of China very well, she would accommodate them and make sure that they were taken care of. But if they weren't, she just ground them into the ground.
Wow.
And, you know, put them in big transport carts like you have on the back of a truck and, you know, ship them from China to America. I mean, it was just horrible.
Are there, other than Blanco, we've got about 30 seconds left. Is there any one of these women that there's a movie about that we could check out?
Gosh, I didn't do that off the top of my head. There are a couple books that are out.
Okay.
One that's in paperback is called The Godmothers. And that talks about a lot of these different women. Not all of them. I mean, I barely scratched the surface on some of this, but
I'll have to start reading again. Bob, it's been a pleasure making eye contact with you here in the studio. Thank you very much for coming in, as always, my friend.
Has Conrad put his clothes back
on? He's back. He's dressed. We're all set.
Okay.
Thank you to Bob Dennis. Thank you to Rob Thomas for making the popcorn pick of the week. It was, what was it again? What was his pick? I've already forgotten.
It was Jaws.
It was Jaws, of course. How could I forget that? We're coming back tomorrow night, folks, to do it all over again. Thanks for being part of the show. Thanks for your calls and texts. This has been Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
Hey, this is John Legend, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Gonna be some sweet
sounds coming down the night shift. Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night edition of Nightlight, folks. Tomorrow night on the show, Madison film critic Rob Thomas will be here. We'll talk movies and TV with Rob, and then Bob Dennis, mafia expert Bob Dennis, drops by the studio. We'll talk about women in the mob tomorrow night. Always fun when Bob is here, and who doesn't love some good mob talk every once in a while? So that's tomorrow night. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our current guest. He is a celebrity chef or a celebrity barbecuer. He's got restaurants and recipe books and his own YouTube channel, and his name is Robbie Schultz, and he's joining us from East Texas on the phone. Robbie, it's great to have you here. I have to ask you, because I know the basics about barbecuing, but there's all different kinds. There's Kansas City, Chicago, Memphis. How is East Texas barbecue different from other places?
Well, you know, I don't know that much. I haven't traveled all around the country really and eaten barbecue. One of the things we do here in Texas is we cut wood right off our own farm here.
Yeah, I read that.
When we were barbecuing like commercially to send product out, you know, I told you about like the computerized smokers and all that.
Yeah.
But we have a pit in our restaurant that we use that burns big wood logs, you know, with the bark still on them and all that. We use live oak, pecan, we'll use hickory, and sometimes it just depends on what kind of mood we wake up in. We'll mix them or we'll use one. It just doesn't matter, you know, if we're out of one. But the main thing that we always remember, and I think a lot of people do across the country, is remember to do it low and slow. It's not something that you speed up or rush or whatever. It's something that takes some time to produce a great product.
That's a great answer. We have one of our texters, John from the 608. It's the Madison area here in Wisconsin. He says, this is for you, Robbie. What's the best size / type of smoker for an amateur with a family of five, brisket, pork butt, etc.?
Yeah. Okay. Great question. You know, I would probably recommend starting out with something like a Pit Boss. They are really awesome. Now, you use wood pellets for those type smokers. It doesn't burn, you know, regular natural natural wood or anything, but you put the pellets in, you set the temperature, and it's pretty much hands-free for, you know, quite a while till you get the desired temperature on the inside. Doesn't produce quite the flavor that a big wood burner will do, but I would recommend a Pit Boss or something similar to it, an equivalent brand, you know. They do a great job, and I've got one, and I use it for small jobs, you know, maybe here at home or whatever, and they would be great. You could load that in the back of your pickup and take on the tailgate.
So you mentioned the wood before that you get from your property. I find that fascinating too. How does that affect what you're making or whatever meat you're making or cooking? How integral is the wood, if at all?
Well, I think it makes all the difference in the world. You don't want to smoke with a pine tree or something like that. But, you know, you got to, yeah, it would be kind of rosiny. But, you know, down here, hickory, oak, and pecan is real indigenous to our area down here. Now, I know up where you guys live, y'all probably have a little more fruit wood and that kind of stuff that you smoke with. But down here, you know, we like that or get that pretty heavy smoke. And I think it's real important to use wood that's that hasn't been stored for a long time, that's free of insects and that sort of thing. And it will pay off in the end, I'll promise you.
So here in Wisconsin, whether it's a Packer game, the Badgers, the Brewers, we're big tailgaters. Is there any advice you could give a tailgater, a grill that's best, a good portable grill, or something you can do to compensate for the fact that you're using a smaller grill? Whatever it is, can you give any tailgating tips, Robbie?
Oh yeah. It's, you know, it doesn't matter what size your smoker is. It really doesn't. This one in the restaurant's like 20 foot long, and it you can stack briskets up on there for days. But, you know, a small one, you can get pretty close to the same results. And you can even get a small, inexpensive, like a charcoal grill, you know, and add wood chips to it if you want to for a tailgate. Always remember when you're tailgating, whatever type of grill you get, even though you're tailgating, make sure you don't do it on the tailgate because it's too close to the gas tank or whatever. And you don't want to have any accidents out there, at the big game.
You just saved several lives, Robbie. I appreciate that.
Let
me ask you this. Is there a meat that tastes like maybe not as good beforehand, but the smoking or the grilling or barbecuing makes all the difference in the world and raises it up a notch, whereas some might taste not that much different after you've smoked them?
Well, I'll tell you what, everybody says that, when you eat this or that, it tastes like chicken. I'm going to tell you what, one of the best things I think you can put on a smoker is chicken. And we don't do that much of it here, but the way you asked the question, I'm going to say chicken because I'm going to tell you, we put a dry rub on our chicken when we do it. And it's not that often that we do, but I'm telling you, when you get it golden brown with that smoke and everything, it's unbelievably good.
Boy, that's a great answer. And one I would not have thought about. You have I don't know if you want to call it a cookbook or a recipe, a book called Bare Bottom Bliss. Where can people find that, Robbie? And what can they expect in there? Like, what would they find?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Pete, it's got generations of family recipes in it that are absolutely amazing. It's just old-fashioned country cooking. You know, all my ancestors were very simple people, and most of the recipes in that book, you're probably going to have the ingredients in your pantry. You're not going to have to Google what planet to order it from. It's going to be simple stuff, and it's going to taste great. And you can find that cookbook on our website, BearCreekSmokehouse.com.
My guest is Robbie Schultz, folks. You could check him out at his YouTube channel. He's got a recipe book, and his family has been smoking and grilling for over 80 years. He knows his stuff, and he is joining us for a few more minutes here on Nightlight. Okay, so here's a question I have for you, Robbie. You obviously, you eat your share of barbecue or your own products and meats. Tell me something you like that is not barbecue, like an ethnic food. Like, what do you eat when you're not eating meat and macaroni and cheese and coleslaw and all these great barbecue foods?
What do I like personally to eat? I'm going to tell you what, I've got the biggest sweet tooth ever. And I remember, and the recipe's in the cookbook. It's a German chocolate cake my grandmother used to fix when I was a little kid. And, oh, my gosh, I can remember going over there and smelling that thing in the oven. I couldn't wait for it to get out and cool off and her to put that frosting on there, and it's just amazing. So, so I'm just telling you like it is. I love sweets. I'm still wearing the same size pants I did when I graduated high school, so it hadn't affected me that much. But
oh, thanks for rubbing that in.
Well,
speaking of rubs.
I'm telling you. Yeah, like we go from sun up to sundown around here. You know, we stay busy and lots of steps in a day. So we work it off for sure, Pete.
Do you have a particular beverage you like for a certain meat? Like a whiskey, a beer, or even if it's some kind of sparkling water, whatever it is, what do you like to eat with certain or drink with certain meats?
I'm going to tell you, brother, I'm from the South, and sweet tea will go for the win every time, I'm going to tell you.
All right. Now, I have another question here for you. This is I'm trying to get free advice from you, so I hope that's okay.
You betcha.
All right. So I just got rid of a Weber grill that I had had for about 15 years, and someone had it before me. I kind of inherited it. And I always wondered, like, how often to clean it. I would just sort of clean it when it got gross on the inside, but how often should you clean a grill to the point where it won't affect the food you're making or the meat you're grilling?
Pete, I'm going to tell you, it's too simple to clean it when you get done every time.
Every time, wow.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do around here, just a general rule of thumb. It's because when that grill is hot, it's the easiest to clean. If you wait, you know, you grill something tonight and it's, you know, 3 weeks till you use it again and you open it up and the grill grates are moldy and all that, it's just... it gets nasty in a hurry, and it can take.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. We have a few more minutes to spend with you on this wonderful evening. And we've had a fun show. Conrad, this is a great show. I love when we kind of, you know, change it up a little bit.
No, that was that was a lot of fun.
That was fun. And you could tell, and maybe I'm being stereotypical here, but I guarantee you that guy knows his stuff. And maybe it's the accent. Maybe it's East Texas. Maybe it's the fact that he's out there and he's on YouTube and has cookbooks and all that kind of stuff. But I would be willing to bet money that if I eat something off the grill at Robbie Schultz's house, it's going to be dynamite.
I mean, 80 years.
Yeah.
It's got to be some good food.
Got to be some good food. And I kind of, like, the only thing I'm good at when it comes to barbecuing is the, what did he call it, low and slow. I do like to take my time.
Yeah.
I don't like to sear the outside of something and then it's raw meat on the inside. That's never really appealed to me. But low and slow, you can't go wrong. Even if you don't really know how to barbecue, that's at least a good starting point, I think. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've never actually barbecued anything, so.
Have you grilled?
No, I've watched my dad do it. You know, I don't think I haven't had a grill outside of living with my parents.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something I need to get into.
I don't think I grilled till I was like 30, to be honest. I mean, we just lived in the city
and
didn't really have a grill in our, you know.
It's hard to put a grill in an apartment building. Most of them don't allow it to be on like your balcony.
Exactly.
So
there you go. We have some texts we have to get through here. I love Donna Franker. Hello, Donna. If you're still listening, I miss you. I hope you're doing well. At 6:50, Donna dropped a stream comment. She said, "Agreed," in all caps. So she was very adamant. I just have no idea what we're talking about. Something with Dan Davies.
Yeah.
Probably Ed Gein. But Donna, I'm glad you're listening, and it's great to have you part of the Nightlight squad here. Dave says The Wall, the Pink Floyd movie. That's probably from, I could see Dave getting down to The Wall. Actually, I don't know if it's a good movie or not. The music's great. I don't remember anything about the movie. I think it's just a concert film. I don't know. But Dave also says Saving Private Ryan, our second vote for Saving Private Ryan tonight. And you cannot go wrong with that. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says Young Frankenstein, or Frankenstein, as Gene Wilder said in the movie. He says, family intrigue, mystery, song and dance, science, horses, werewolves, therewolves, and romance. It's got it all. Wow, I like that thumbnail review, Tyler. Well done, buddy. Jim from Appleton, he's in the 920. He says, I would go with Casablanca. It's a classic, or something slightly more modern like Blade Runner. Okay, two excellent choices. I would probably, if I was going to show somebody a movie for the first time, I'd probably go Casablanca, Jim. But yeah.
Not The Rock.
Not The Rock.
I'd show them any of The Rock films. I mean, it's just so good.
Yeah, and they never watch another movie again. So good plan. Gary from Madison in the 608. I think I read this already. It's a Wonderful Life. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I read The Deer Hunter. Bridget from the 818 says, boy, that one's tough and interesting question. My recommendation would be It's a Wonderful Life. Another one for It's a Wonderful Life. And again, a feel-good movie. No comedy, though, really. I need a few laughable moments. I think comedy is so important, but I love It's a Wonderful Life. It's just an absolute, and I bawled like a baby the first time I saw it. I was like 22, and I could not believe it. Ronnie from Horicon, he's in the 920, says, I would have them watch the epic Gone with the Wind. Yeah, okay. That's up there. Often mentioned as one of the best films ever made. John says you can now, John in the 608, John Murray says you can now get chocolate chip cookies that aren't loaded with walnuts. Hooray, I say. Is that just a random thought from John? Like, were we talking about chocolate chip cookies?
I think Robbie said something with walnuts.
I would have read that when Robbie was on. That's a great one, John.
I think that's what it was about.
Okay. My bad, John. I thought you were being tangential, which is fine too. I welcome the tangential. Ross from Crawford County. Hey, Ross. He's in the 608. He says, an old movie, 1950, about a faded film star determined to make a triumphant return, Sunset Boulevard, with William Holden, Gloria Swanson, and Eric von Stroheim. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Excellent text, Ross, and a great suggestion. Thank you. I'm due for a rewatch on that. I saw that about 30 years ago. Billy Wilder, a great film. John says, thank you. And those are all John's compliments. John is a very active texter tonight. I love it. He says, certain things are just understood, Peter. Why do you suppose I can't miss this very expertly produced show every dang day? I'm glad you don't, John. Please never stop texting. John says, y'all are the bomb. Well, thank you, buddy. Very much appreciated. He says, maybe starting slow to avoid PTSD. How about Bambi? Yeah, bad choice. Bad choice if you're watching a football game. I think that's what, isn't that what happened? They cut away from that football game because the network had like guidelines they had to uphold. They cut away from playoff football. This is a famous moment in broadcast history. They cut away from like a playoff football game and put Bambi on.
Wow.
And people lost their minds.
Yeah.
And that would do it, right?
Yeah, yes, it would.
So that's what he's referring to there. I think we got all the text, Conrad. Are we good?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we got them all.
So
banged them out.
I think the big one might have been Saving Private Ryan or Shawshank Redemption.
Probably, yeah. And we got a couple for It's a Wonderful Life, two or three maybe.
Yeah.
I was on an island with Quick Change, but I'm okay with that.
I'm surprised no one went with Jumanji or Red Notice or, you know, The Tooth Fairy.
Well, there's always tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm gonna say something with The Rock.
Okay, here we got one, a last minute text here coming in under the wire from the 608. I think it's Ryan, R-Y-N. Is that how you'd say that? I think it's Ryan. I hope I got your name right. Groundhog Day. That was on my list.
Yes,
because that has everything too. That has, you know, some suspense, but humor and heart, and it's just a great movie. Folks, we're coming back to do all this again tomorrow night with two great guests. Conrad will be back. I'll be back. We'll have a new picture to take in the window from some unsuspecting street passenger. We'll figure it out. Always fun having you guys part of the show. Thanks for your calls and texts. Thank you to Dan Davies and Robbie Schultz. Have a great night, everybody. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabe saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.